Good news out of Orlando, Florida.
This is the Pete Shepard Show on Patriots.com Radio.
Time remaining 19 seconds. Manning calling signals on third and goal. Hand off to no one. Back to throw. Fires, and it is caught for a touchdown. Jake Ballard, a one-yard touchdown pass, and Manning brings them back and breaks the Patriots fans' hearts just as he did in Super Bowl 42.
Here to break down this week's game live from the Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium, the man everyone loves, especially the quarterback.
I love Pete. I always appreciate Pete.
Pete Shepard.
Well, hey there, and how's everybody this afternoon? It's the Pete Shepard Show. As usual on Thursday, Brian Lowe is here with the Patriots Fantasy Football Lowdown back. We haven't been with each other for a couple of weeks because I was getting married a couple of weeks ago, and then Brian was near death last week with his voice anyway.
That's right.
And now we are back together again on this Thursday.
And I think the last time we were actually together was a Wednesday, too.
It was. That's right. It was a Wednesday.
So it's been about a month since we had a normal Thursday. But we'll get into a groove, although
absolutely
Thanksgiving will come up, and we won't have a normal Thursday.
That's right. Exactly. It'll change the Monday night game as well. And now we'll be on.
That should work. But we'll make it work.
Man, lots of interesting. I got to throw this out there right away in case people haven't seen it. And I'm sorry. This is just too funny to pass up. Gotta go. I hate to direct people away from them. I'm gonna try and post it on my. I don't know, Matt, if you can post it on my site on this picture on TMZ. Post it on my on Pete Shepard, but you gotta see it because apparently Wes Welker had some kind of a party earlier in the season, and he hired little people as servers at his party at his house on purpose. I guess kind of as a goof, you know.
Self-deprecating humor.
Brilliant!
You can see, Wes is there, and he looks like Wilt Chamberlain compared to everybody else. And Edelman's in the background with his long hair. But the guy, the little person on the left, the little man on the left, looks just like Zolak. Looks like Scott Zolak. It is just one of the funniest things I've ever seen in my life. It is mini-Zo.
He really does. It's mini-me for Scott Zolak.
Mini-me for Scott Zolak. Absolutely hysterical.
Yeah.
Anyway, more on that later. Let's get right to there's a lot of let me just read the injury report real quick.
Sure.
About who didn't participate today. Patrick Chung, Dane Fletcher, Brandon Spikes, Ryan Wendell, and limited today, Arrington, Ellis, Falk, the law firm, Guyton, Mayo, Price, Vollmer, and Welker. And don't have the Jets yet.
Yeah, but that's down the bottom there, Pete. Same crew. Both the injury reports are the exact same as yesterday.
Oh, okay, because it's not listed on the Thursday. It just says the Thursday part isn't there. That's why I was pessimistic about reading. Or skeptical about reading, I should say. All right, so it's the same. The Plaxico Burress, which is their big guy, and receiver, and McKnight, and Roddy Poole.
Yeah. And on that, non-fantasy related, but for the Patriots, up the middle defensively, not defensive line, but inside linebacker and safety are major concerns.
Well, I think safety to me is obviously. Yep. We have Sergio Brown and Adeyebo, your only viable safeties.
Those
right
are the
now.
Only safeties practicing right now, other than Ross Ventrone, who's on the practice.
And maybe rookie Sterling Moore, who might play some, say, possibly.
Yeah. But
that's kind of.
It's sick. a little troubling.
Yeah. But let's get to the fantasy stuff, and then we'll get more into the Patriots and Jets and some more of this Penn State stuff coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. And also in the 5 o'clock hour, I have Jets sideline reporter Larry Hardesty on with me, so we'll look forward to that.
Nice.
Just a bunch of good games coming up for fantasy football this weekend. And starting tonight, San Diego and Oakland.
Yeah, and first of all, let's just make sure everyone's aware. There is a Thursday night game.
Yeah. So if you NFL
haven't
Network.
Yet, right, and if you haven't yet checked your lineup to see if you have a San Diego or Oakland player, you better get on that in the next couple of hours.
No. Well, I tell you, I think they're going to win tonight.
Well, you know, I do too. I mean, I think listen.
They have to.
What's the MO of San Diego in the last, since North Turner came? They're always one of the more talented teams, and they underachieve early in the year.
This is when they pick it up.
Then they pick it up, and then they end up not necessarily getting as far as people hope they would. I think this is a game that they absolutely have to win. If I'm not mistaken, both teams are 4-4, but the Chargers should be a lot better than they were. They had that game against the Jets a few weeks ago. They dropped,
which was
awful.
That was disgusting.
But I do think this is going to be a I think this should be a pretty solid game. Definitely fantasy implications, but I think it's a pretty good game as well. And you're right. There's some really interesting games. I'm really, really intrigued by Buffalo at Dallas this week.
I got that one. I have one, two, three. I have six games here. Yeah. Starred is what I think are good fantasy games, and that's definitely one of them.
That's definitely one of them. And, you know, I think Houston at Tampa is an interesting one. Houston's an interesting team to me. Maybe not, the most interesting fantasy game. I think the Monday Nighter is good. Minnesota, Green Bay.
Yeah, I have that one.
Patriots, Jets as well. There's others.
I'll tell you one that's going to be also very intriguing. God, I hate to say this. But, man, and if they're going to run the option with Tebow against Kansas City, and Kansas City, you got to figure, as most NFL teams do, always seem to bounce back when you get humiliated. Now, Kansas City is humiliated at home last week by a winless Dolphin team. And this is one of those games, once again, where you just don't know what you're going to get out of Tebow. Now, I was away for the Detroit game, and I knew he was going to get destroyed in that one.
Yeah.
And I didn't think he'd play very well last week against Oakland, but, he did okay fantasy wise.
Right, fantasy wise, when you get the running, when you add in the running, he certainly is doing okay.
And they're going to play the option, which I'm so against in the NFL, and it doesn't work 99.9% of the time. But what do I know? I don't know.
But
they're going to try it.
And if he has games where he throws no interceptions and has really good running performance, they're going to win more often than they lose. And you know, because he's not the quarterback who's going to go 22 for 35 with four touchdown passes. That's not going to be.
He's going to go 8 for 22.
He's going to go
8
for 22.
But he'll get two touchdowns somehow.
Right. But if those 14 interceptions, if none of them are interceptions, and if he runs the ball effectively, which I think the one thing you can be close to being sure of with him is that he's going to run it okay. It's just the decision making when he throws the ball. He's going to be all right for the Broncos, and he's going to be pretty good for fantasy.
Well, I'll get to the questions right off the bat.
Absolutely.
Okay,
let's do it.
This is from Manny in Miami. Hey, Pete and Brian, I have two questions. First, I need a running back to start tonight. Who will you pick? I got Michael Bush and Mike Tolbert, and for a flex position, I got Dez Bryant, Julio Jones, and one of these running backs from Jones, or one of these running backs for my first question that I did not start. Thanks.
Well, first of all, for the running back, I think it's got to be Michael Bush. McFadden has been ruled out.
Yeah.
Neither one of these teams is a great run defense. I certainly think if Tolbert was at 100%, if he was the guy, I'd maybe go with him. But I think we're going to see him get a little bit of action, a little bit of Ryan Matthews, but it's all Michael Bush. And what we've seen out of Oakland, regardless of who's been a quarterback over the years, they run the ball. They run it pretty good. I think Michael Bush is good enough to be a surefire starter for fantasy tonight. In fact, he's one of those guys that even if McFadden's healthy, he's a decent flex guy because they still are committed to running the ball. So I'd go with Bush.
That day on, if I was going somewhere, I was running.
Well, they're going to run it. They're going to run it. As far as that flex. Forrest Bush.
Guess so.
Michael Gump.
Yeah.
Dez Bryant, Julio Jones, or Mike Tolbert. I think I'd probably go Julio Jones. Atlanta is going to be, where's that game?
New Orleans.
They're at
home
against New Orleans.
That's another one I circled.
I like that game. Yeah. I like Julio Jones. I think Julio Jones is on the rise. There's something about Dez Bryant that troubles me, and I think without Miles Austin, I don't think,
you don't like that drop at the goal line last week?
Oh, boy.
Was he on your team? I was thinking of you and Michael. Michael didn't have it. I texted Michael right away because I didn't have your number. I said, hope you didn't have Dez on that play.
I had Dez Bryant for a few weeks on a team. I traded for him and then traded him. I think with Miles Austin being out, to me, Jason Witten is the guy that's going to be the beneficiary. I don't think it's going to be Dez Bryant. I think Bryant's going to have some good performances in him. But there's something about Miles Austin being out that tells me it's not necessarily going to impact positively Dez Bryant. So I would go Julio Jones in that flex. I think he's a breakout guy. We saw what he did last week, and I think against New Orleans, which is not a great defense, I think he's going to have a pretty good performance.
Yeah, that could be the highest scoring game of the day.
That could be Atlanta, New Orleans.
Atlanta gets jacked up for that game, too.
Yeah, no question about it. So I'd go with Bush at the running back and Julio Jones.
Todd in Jacksonville says, please set my lineup. Some guys are obvious starters, but want your opinion. One quarterback, two running backs, two wide receivers, one flex, running back or wide receiver. Roster. Quarterbacks, Stafford, Bradford.
Yeah, it's Stafford. No doubts there, obviously.
Yeah. Running backs, Ray Rice, Fred Jackson, Steven Jackson, and Mo Morris.
Well, that's stacked. I think you got to go Ray Rice and Fred Jackson. I mean, those are two dominant wide receivers. Running backs who get a lot of action in the passing game, too. Steven Jackson, he's he's certainly a capable start. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't put him over Rice or Fred Jackson. He's coming off a huge game. But he's also, you know, I don't know if he's the kind of guy that's going to, you know, bang out 130-yard rushing games week in, week out. And I'll be honest, I actually think Maurice Morris is a reasonable guy. Certainly not going to crack your lineup, Todd. But Maurice Morris, you know, Javid Best is still out. They did sign Kevin Smith, and I think I've read that they want to get him involved. But I think Maurice Morris is a reasonable guy this week, but certainly Rice and Fred Jackson are the guys for you.
No question. Wide receivers, Greg Jennings, Vincent Jackson, obviously tonight, Julio Jones, Victor Cruz.
Yeah, again, I put the same thing. I think Greg Jennings and Vincent Jackson are the guys. A little more stability there, but Julio Jones, you know, if you have a flex spot, it's Julio Jones probably. And Victor Cruz, I like him a lot, especially with Hakeem Nicks being out. They still have Mario Manningham as a threat, which opens things up for Cruz. You know, you're pretty loaded there, Todd. So
I thought Nicks practiced this week, but
I think he did. I don't think they. I don't think they've ruled one way or another on him. In fact, I think I saw that he is he's participating. You know, it's still hard
still
to say.
Air,
you know,
yeah,
still up in the air. So
also, I'm wondering if I should try to trade for a top tier quarterback using Vincent Jackson and Bradford as trade bait. What quarterback do you think I could get with that, and would he be better than Stafford?
You know, if you can get, you know, listen, if you can get Aaron Rodgers, great. If you can get Cam Newton or Drew Brees, great. But I think, you know, I think, you know, you're loaded at the running back and wide receiver position. And Stafford, if Stafford's healthy and he's got the weapons that he's got, you know, I think he's a top eight quarterback. Yeah, I mean, I think you've got depth enough, Todd, at those positions that with Jackson and Bradford, if you find a team that really needs a wide receiver and is willing to take on Bradford, I just find me the team in your league that's willing to take on Bradford as their week in, week out starting quarterback and has and is willing to deal Brady or Rodgers. I'd be surprised, but you know. Yeah, if you can deal Jackson and Bradford, I think going week in, week out with Greg Jennings and Julio Jones as your wideouts would be fine. I think you'd be hard-pressed to find a guy in your league that's going to be able to do it. But if you can get Rodgers or you can get Brady or you can get Breeze, sure, do it.
One last thing. If you don't do the above, would you drop Santana Moss, who was on my roster but currently injured, for an insurance tight end like Celek or Ballard? I currently only have Witten as my tight end.
I think you can probably drop Santana Moss, but one thing about tight ends I've found this year, you really don't need to have a second tight end on your roster because, if you happen to have, you know, both Jason Witten and Rob Gronkowski, you're not going to drop one of them. You're just going to go with the matchups. But if you only have Witten and you're looking at Celek or Ballard on a week in, week out basis on the waiver wire, you can get someone of the Celek Ballard type. If Jason Witten goes down with a season ending injury this week, don't feel like, oh man, I didn't protect myself. You're going to be able to get a guy who isn't at Witten's level, but there's enough depth at tight end in fantasy this year that any given week you can get a guy like Celek or Ballard or Scott Chandler, Vasante Shanko, guys who are not elite but are going to be, you know, decent carryover, decent holdover.
Yeah, guys like Chandler and Ballard, I think it would be, you know, if you're in a jam, those two would be.
And those
my
guys
top
are
choices.
Available in a lot of leagues, and so I wouldn't go crazy to make sure you have a second tight end on your roster. You know, Dallas has already had their bye week. Most teams have. I would say you're fine. I would say if you're going to get rid of Santana Moss, Todd hasn't mentioned who his defense is. Get rid of Santana Moss. Look a week or two down the road at a good defensive matchup. Protect yourself with the defense, rather than going two tight ends.
Mike says, again, email on webradio@patriot.com. That's webradio@patriot.com. Of Marcus Colston, Anquan Boldin, and Brandon Floyd, which two do you start?
Colston, Boldin, or Floyd? It's definitely Colston or Boldin. Mm-hmm. I don't think Floyd's going to play tonight. Mm-hmm. And if he does, if he's active, he's in an emergency basis. So that's an easy one. It's Colston and it's Boldin. And those are two pretty good starts anyways.
Josh has had a fantasy question. Would you give Matthews, probably with the groin, some run tonight instead of Bo or Colston on Sunday? The San Diego backfield has been a pain in the butt for most of the year, but with the Raiders sucking so bad against the run, it is something I have to ask about. Bo has been killing me. One good game all year, but I know if I bench him, he will explode.
Well, that's always a tough call with guys who are, you know, considered your elite guys. I mean, I don't know. I think if you're asking about Ryan Matthews, Bo, or Colston, I wouldn't trust Ryan Matthews tonight. I think he's going to play.
He's going to play.
And he's going to get maybe 10 to 12 snaps. But I think Bo still, to me, is a good enough wide receiver that you're going to start him. And I think Kansas City at home against a Denver, shaky Denver pass defense, I'd feel more comfortable going with Bo.
Chase again, coming off a humiliating loss. Yeah. And you got to think they're going to bounce, and they have bounced back this year after some humiliating losses.
Yeah, they have. I mean, they started with a humiliating, you're right, start
three
to the
in
season,
a row, I think, right?
Three in a row. Yeah. Then they win four straight, I think, and then lose to Miami. But I think they're primed for a good performance. I'd go with Bo.
Here's another one. Hi there, Brian and Pete. It's from Harry. Where's Harry from? Harry from Vegas. Love it.
Love it. Vegas.
Hey there, Brian and Pete. This season, I'm the owner. Six different fantasy teams. Jeez.
Wow.
Six different fantasy teams. Unfortunately, thus far, all of them are doing well in the one loss column. But this week, I have three decisions that I'm having difficulty making. I'm hoping that you guys can help me with. One, who to start at quarterback? Michael Vick versus the Cardinals or Cam Newton versus the Titans? Their stats are very similar. And two, let's start with that one.
Go with each one. I go slight edge, Michael Vick. But that's a real slight edge. I think the thing with Newton is I still think he's going to have high yardage, some touchdowns, but some picks. Now Vick is certainly capable of throwing picks too, but I think the Cardinals are a down in the dumps team. I think Philly is going to have the kind of game that they did against Dallas a couple weeks ago, as opposed to what they had against Chicago. So I'd give Vick the edge, but I'd feel comfortable starting Newton as well.
I'm going to tell you, this week I'd give Vic a big edge. I just think Tennessee is in almost a must-win situation. They had a bad loss last week. Even though Cincinnati's playing well, they've got to play well. Philly's really in a must-win situation
this week
at home.
They are.
So, I mean, if Vic can't get it done against that defense, which is horrible, I think it's overwhelming in favor of Michael Vic. But you never know.
I agree with you. I think LeSean McCoy is going to be the number one league-wide fantasy winner this week. I think it's just a monstrous game for McCoy, both in the rushing and passing. I think the Eagles will have such a big lead that they'll be running the ball a lot, but McCoy has just been dominant.
This is a tough one, the next one, part of his question. Who to start on defense, Cowboys versus Bills or 49ers versus Giants? I think that's tough because I think there's going to be points in both of those games.
Yeah, I do too. I'd probably go with the Niners. Keep in mind, the Niners still, we're in week 10, they have not yet given up a rushing touchdown all year. That's amazing.
It's amazing. It really is.
I agree with you that the Giants should be able to...
I'm not even mad. Well, that's amazing.
Well, the Giants, that's a good one. The Giants are probably going to score some points, but, you know, Manning's good for a pick or two. Mm-hmm. So is Ryan Fitzpatrick. Yep. Don't get me wrong. But I think, you know, Fred Jackson really scares me, even against the Cowboys. I'd definitely go with the Niners on that one. I think I'm with you. I'd go with the Niners. The Giants, you know, especially, you know, we might still have Bradshaw out. We might still have Knicks banged up. I'd go with the Niners in that one.
Part three to that question. Who to start at the flex position? I have the following. Wes Welker versus the Jets. I'm afraid he might end up on Revis Island. Deion Branch versus Jets. Kevin Falk versus Jets. Or Ben Tate versus the Buccaneers. I know that these are all pretty tough choices, but I'm looking forward to hearing your opinion on these matches. I want to hear yours, obviously. Then I have a theory about, because I've been talking about a particular matchup all week that people may not be aware of. But go ahead.
I'd go with Welker. I mean, I've got to assume that special teams yardage works if he's including Tate in this. And Tate, you know, he's broken some big ones special teams-wise. But it's got to be Welker. And keep in mind, when Revis is on a guy, that's a shutdown guy. But Welker also took advantage last time they played of one specific play, a breakdown in the Jets coverage, and he had 74-yarder touchdown.
First play of the second half.
Exactly. I don't think that's going to happen, but here's the problem. You can't go with Falk. Falk was inactive last week, and even if he plays, I cannot endorse starting Kevin Falk in fantasy this week. And I don't really endorse Tate either. Branch has clearly been slowed. However, he's got a knack for doing okay against the Jets, including last year in the home game, the big win. So in this, it would come down to Welker versus Branch. I still think you got to go Welker because I think a bad game for Welker, even against the Jets, is still four or five catches, somewhere in the 60 yards, and potentially he's got a chance to break one.
I want
to
pull a nice little player.
I'm going to pull a Lee Corso not so fast. Last week I thought Branch was open several times. Yeah. And Brady, almost like he did with Moss a couple of years ago, trying to force the ball to the useless 85 for whatever reason. I just got a feeling that Branch this week is going to have some good regular numbers and pretty good fantasy numbers. I just got a feeling that you're going to hear his name a lot this Sunday night for some reason. Now, I agree with you. I think, you know, you can flip a coin, but this is one where I would, if I owned a fantasy team, I would play my hunch here. And I'd go with Deion Branch. But
no,
certainly
I see
more consistent person is Welker.
Yeah, I see it. And if it turns out that this is a game where 98% of the time Darrell Revis is on Welker and 98% of the time Antonio Cromartie is on Branch, then I'll be eating my words because Branch could have a field day.
Again, the other one, factor that we don't know about, which is not really fantasy related because you'd never pick any of these two guys, you don't know about Taylor Price and you don't know about Chad. Now, if those guys ever show up and have some kind of contribution, takes a lot of pressure off everybody else. That's the big, I wish we had a crystal ball and could see if they, especially Price, I'd love to see Price, what the hell he can do if he can make it through a week of practice.
Right, exactly. And there was such build up for him last week. But, you know, with those guys, let me know when there is finally a breakout game and then I'll react accordingly. You know, and I'm not writing off Ocho Cinco. When I saw that when Brady went to him five times in the second half of a tight game last week, that tells me that there was some smidgen of confidence that could have been the game where Ocho Cinco could break out. He didn't, but it tells me that maybe last week at practice was better than it had been. Maybe there still is a little bit more each week reason to believe that he's got an opportunity to break out. Until it happens, I'm assuming it's not going to happen, if that makes any
sense. My problem is, I think Tom was trying to get him some confidence a couple times by forcing him the ball, and that's where I saw Branch open that I thought he should have thrown it the other way. I thought several times there's something, I agree with you. I mean, there's something not right there. You can figure it out because they all say the right things, both teammates, and he's not pulling a Haynesworth where he's not trying. We all know he's busting his ass out in practice and all that stuff. He's just not getting it. I just don't want to see Tom have a mini version of what happened with Moss down the stretch and try to force this guy balls just to get him some confidence when he's clearly running the wrong way at the expense of Deion Branch.
Yeah, I've got to assume that. I mean, last week, it wasn't a must-win game, but that was a game the Patriots really, you know, felt needed to win. And I don't think that Brady would be in the business of just trying to get a guy confidence in the second half of a tight game, middle of the season. They got to win. I took it as a sign that there still is reason to believe. Until it happens, I'm not convinced.
I don't even want a breakout game. I just want some contribution.
Three catches for
something.
40 yards would be
perfect.
Great. And another thing on Patriots-Jets, I guess this would impact the wide receivers, I really think the Patriots are going to go to the ground approach heavy in this game.
I totally
early
agree.
And often. I think this is a day where Green Ellis has it. He had a huge game against the Jets last time. I think they mix in Ridley more than they have. The Jets have allowed the fewest passing touchdowns in the league this year.
And the red zone defense is fantastic.
The red zone defense is good. Yeah. Obviously, Darrell Revis is good. I think where the Jets are vulnerable would be in the run game. And I also think while I absolutely don't think Tom Brady is injured by any means, I do think, you know, he's taken every single snap this year. I do think this is a game where you put less on his shoulders. I really do. I think this is the kind of game where they're going to run the ball a lot. I think Ben Jarvis Green Ellis is due for a big game. I wouldn't advise starting Stephen Ridley, but I wouldn't be surprised if he has 50 yards in this game and maybe even a touchdown. I think this is going to be a big day for the Patriots run game.
All right, joining us right now, it's our buddy Poker Mike. Hey, Michael.
Fellas, how are we doing today?
Mike, good to hear from you.
A lot better than that suckout I took last night in that tournament.
Yeah,
that was brutal.
Oh, my.
Oh, my God. I flopped the nut straight, and some donkey calls me with two pair, doesn't think I have it, which anybody who plays with me better know I have it early on.
That's right.
And gets the freaking full boat on the river. It was disturbing.
Yeah,
but anyway.
Everyone sucks but me.
But anyway, Michael, what's happening?
Nothing. I'm actually just I'm getting over a little cold myself. So, Bilo, I kind of feel your pain.
It's running through everywhere, and it was, I'm good for a cold or two every winter, but this was one that really knocked me down for a day or two.
Yeah, for you to be out of commission on a Thursday.
And fortunately, but unfortunately on a day like that, a big part of my job here with the Patriots is using my voice. And when I'm struggling in that area, you might as well count me out, you know. So I wasn't going to do anyone favors, Pete or the listeners, if I was on last week.
Well, Michael, we're talking with Brian. Lots of nice fantasy games coming up this week. I got like six of them listed here that could be good, including tonight.
Absolutely. I mean, this is. I mean, I can't believe we're already, you know, approaching week 10 here.
Yeah,
we're at week
10.
The season has just absolutely flown by, which is kind of depressing.
Well, but most fantasy seasons, you know, if you go through usually like week 14, a lot of fantasy leagues, the playoffs are 15 and 16. We're only 5 weeks away from that.
Yeah, we're done. My big league, we're done in week 13. So
it's amazing.
I mean, it's crunch time here.
Why are you done in week 13?
What's that?
Why are you done in week 13?
Because we don't. I'm trying to think.
Is it three weeks of playoffs?
I know 13's our last week. We don't like.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, usually.
I hear you.
Yeah.
As a playoff.
Yeah, I keep forgetting it. What's different fantasy?
We go 14, 15, 16.
Yeah. I got you.
Yeah, which it's actually worked, and that was a topic that I'm, you know, you have to look at now. I'm kind of in the driver's seat in both of my leagues. My team has kind of picked it up in my big league. We're not going to get too involved with Chris Johnson, but he was finally productive. Along with my man Philip Rivers, which the two guys that have been killing me the most this year, they finally have good weeks, and what do? I'm the top point getter in my league. So moving forward,
well,
I'm in the driver's seat, but you have to be concerned here, looking at the fantasy playoffs, which kind of, you know, where they fall, you know, a team like Green Bay, a team like San Francisco, there's nothing you can do. You have to start the guys, you know, that have gotten you there. But, you know, D'Lo, I know you probably follow this as well.
Yeah.
What happens in those final weeks of the season for fantasy where you're relying on these guys to put up points?
Yeah.
But what happens with those teams? I mean, Green Bay might not lose a game this year.
Right.
They could shut it down.
Well, Green Bay is the one team in that category. I mean, I guess San Francisco would be the other, you know, Frank Gore, you know, something like that. No, it has to be a consideration. I think with quarterback, you know, if you've got Aaron Rodgers, you have to protect yourself with another quarterback that, especially if you have the luxury of looking at the matchups, weeks 14, 15, 16, if you happen to find a quarterback who's available, whether it be by trade or waivers, who has reasonable matchups. You know, you don't want to find that quarterback, you know, who's going up against, you know, Baltimore followed
right.
by, you know, you don't want to go, but if you find a quarterback that has some reasonable matchups, and, you know, maybe next week I'll come prepared with, I'll think about some guys, different positions. I'll come prepared because I didn't do that yet. That are targets for those weeks.
But then you worry about a guy, like I would worry if I had Eli Manning on my team, but despite how well he's played, especially in the fourth quarter and the first, besides last week's game, the first five games they had were but they have an incredibly difficult schedule coming up the next 6 or 7 weeks.
Yeah.
He's one guy that if you had on your fantasy team, I would be very wary of coming up. They have some really, really difficult games.
Well, that's true. I mean, you're at quarterback, you know, if you have Eli Manning, you know, yeah, he's a legit, you know, he's an okay number one fantasy
quarterback. Well, the first half of the season.
But
let's see.
Right. If Eli Manning is your top quarterback, you want to have a second quarterback who's in that same category and you can go match up week to week. But if you have Aaron Rodgers and you're worried about, wow, what if they've already clinched the number one spot and you're in your championship game week and Mike McCarthy decides, you know what? We are only going to play Aaron Rodgers the first three series of this game. We're going to give Matt Flynn, some time.
I don't see it happening, Brian.
I don't see it happening either. But can you rule out in week 16 the Packers have clinched everything? He doesn't bench Aaron Rodgers fully, but he plays a half. They run the ball a lot, and it's
just remember what happened around here when we were playing the Giants in the regular season. Everybody thought that, you know, people were going to bench Brady, and what didn't matter. They had the thing wrapped up, and they went balls to the wall with that game. And so did Coughlin.
But Indy has.
And
but we've seen what Indy has done.
Yeah, but and what did that get? That was the worst thing that happened. Indy did because it backfired on him.
No, I know, but I'm not saying Aaron Rodgers sits in its entirety. But what if you find out? What if it's made clear, hey, Matt Flynn's getting a lot of first-team reps, they're going to give him a chance, what if they need him in the playoffs, he hasn't taken a snap this year? You want to make sure that you have another backup, you have a quarterback on your roster, you don't want to go into your championship week and find out that Aaron Rodgers is going to be limited.
But if the Packers are 14-0 going with two games to play, I don't see Aaron Rodgers.
What if they're 13-1 in the
Well, that's 13-1 might be different.
Well,
13-1 might be different.
I'm saying
if they're going for perfection, if they're going for the whole kit and caboodle here, I think Aaron's not sitting at all.
No, I'd agree with that. But let's say they're 13-1.
Yeah, well, that might be different. That's
okay.
I'm talking about if they're undefeated and they're going for the Patriots
purposes,
record.
Let's keep that in mind.
Yep.
So, you know, like I said, Mike, I'm going to try to come prepared now that you mention it next week with some specific guys at different positions for sort of, you know, weeks 15 and 16 if you need to. But, you know, there's no question. Now, certainly at running back, at wide receiver, if you're managing your fantasy team well enough, you're going to have more than two running backs. You're going to have more than two wide receivers, and they might not all be elite, but you're going to have backup guys. You just want to, we're starting to get to the season where you're, if you're in playoff contention or if you're definitely in the playoffs for your fantasy league, you want to start looking at those matchups in week 15 and 16 and kind of protect yourself at different positions. There's no question about it, because there's no, you know, where's the downside in doing that? You don't want to be caught shorthanded in the championship game, and have one of your primo guys limited because the team has already locked up a spot and they're just not going to put the wear and tear on a guy.
I mean, thankfully though, just kind of looking at the divisions here, I mean, it's pretty close. I mean, across the board, you know, these teams are fighting for their position here. So I think this is actually going to be a year where we're not going to really run into that too much. You know, but just looking at, we're kind of beating this up because we still got 5 weeks to go, but I mean, you guys talked about the matchups this week. There's some major division matchups here, which could potentially dictate what we're looking at down the line. I mean, you guys mentioned tonight's game. There's one other game that I feel you it's not getting the talk that like this.
I know what you're going to say.
San Diego. I'm not sold on this New Orleans-Atlanta game. I know New Orleans' D is kind of banged up. We're expecting Atlanta to put up a ton of points along with New Orleans. But I have double stars on this Tennessee-Carolina matchup.
Oh, okay.
I just from a fantasy standpoint, and again, I'm not even going to get into Chris Johnson because he's irritating. But, you know, Carolina, you know, you have to expect Tennessee to come with it. All right, Matt Hasselbeck, you know, not putting up lights-out numbers here, but he had a productive week last week. You know, along with Chris Johnson and a couple of those wide receivers, Hawkins and Washington, I think there's going to be a lot of points in this game. And on the Carolina side, you know, obviously with Cam Newton, I'm loving Jonathan Stewart this week. I just think that's going to be a shootout, in my opinion.
Yeah, I'm, you know, the Tennessee has been very hot and cold, you know, as far as wins and losses, but they bounce back okay. And, you know, I'm with you on Chris Johnson maybe this week. And, you know, I also think there's a couple of, you know, a couple of those Tennessee wide receivers are starting to catch my eye. You know, Damian Williams is getting a lot of play in the red zone. He's got, I think, three touchdowns. Mm-hmm. Lavelle Hawkins coming out of nowhere. I had been high on Nate Washington, although he's kind of slid a little bit. I think they've got some guys who could impress this week against Carolina. So I'm with you. I thought maybe you were going to give me the Pittsburgh-Cincinnati game when you started talking about divisions.
That's another great one.
Obviously, that one sticks out as well.
That one sticks out. You know, forget about fantasy. That one sticks out.
This is what I'm always wary of when upcoming teams that have not been in big pressure games like this one. This is Cincinnati's first real big test,
which makes it
on the road. And many times, competitive. I could also see that it wouldn't shock me if they lost 21-10.
It's in Cincinnati.
Oh, it's in Cincinnati. Okay.
This is the game where we might really be able to see what Cincinnati's made of. If they get clocked by Pittsburgh, then you say, okay, you know, it's been a nice story. You know, maybe they stay in contention, but they're not for real. If they stay close with Pittsburgh, and certainly if they beat Pittsburgh, think about where Pittsburgh's at. Pittsburgh, you know, is just got
crushed. They'll be in trouble.
Well, they just got crushed by that loss to Baltimore.
You're better for the Patriots, for that matter. I mean, if they lost for a while, you know, God forbid a wild card.
Well, sure, that's a great game. I'm really curious to see what Cincinnati.
Let me read one of these emails. Email us at webradiopatriots.com. This is from Craig. Hi guys, I have a good problem this week. I have several players that I think will be good starts, but can't decide who to bench. Who would you start in my PPR league? I know some are must starts, but I thought I would include them anyhow. Two wide receivers, two running backs, one tight end, two wide receivers, a tight end, a running back. So he's got
two in the flex. It looks like. So he's got
Finley and Ballard.
Yep. Well, it's certainly Finley, and then you know, Ballard. Let's hang tight here. I might consider him in the flex.
Yeah, then you got Welker, Wallace, and Jones, Julio Jones.
Okay, well, I think you probably want to start all three of those guys because I don't want to sit Welker. I'm certainly not sitting Mike Wallace, even against Cincinnati, a good defense. And I'm high on Julio Jones, especially this week. Let's plan on all three of those guys starting.
Then Adrian Peterson, McGahee, and Tolbert.
Well, it's Peterson and McGahee. You know, McGahee now is a must start until further notice. I mean, he's really come on strong with the when he got that got those chances with no Sean Moreno out. You know, he's really taken advantage. And Tolbert, I'm not real high on Tolbert for tonight. I'm just not sure what kind of workload he's going to have. So okay, it looks like for the two wide receivers, give me Welker and Wallace. For the two running backs, it's Peterson and McGahee. For the tight end, it's Finley. And then for the two flex, it would be Julio Jones and Jake Ballard. So of all these guys listed, you know, you got a spot for all of them except for Tolbert. Now, his quote unquote problem, too many players to start. For some reason, there are no bye weeks in the NFL this week. I'm not really sure why that is, because next week there are. So usually it goes from weeks 4 through 11, and there's either 4 or 6 teams on bye every week. This week there are no byes, but there are still some next week. Not sure why that is, but a lot of people are probably looking at their roster and like, wow, I got a lot of usable guys. Well, that's because you've protected yourself with bye weeks, and now all of a sudden there aren't any. Mm-hmm. So it's an interesting, quote-unquote, problem to have.
This is another one from Todd. Says, I asked previously if you would drop Santana Moss for a backup tight end, and he responded, no, but who's your defense? And so he says, I have the 49ers D. This is what's left on the waiver wire. Buffalo, Giants, Washington, Atlanta, Tennessee. Would you pick one of those DSTs for this week over San Fran? Todd in Jacksonville, thanks.
Okay, so it's San Fran against the Giants. I don't think any of these jump out at me for this week. I wouldn't want to do Buffalo against Dallas.
Nope.
I wouldn't want to do the Giants against the Niners. I mean, in that matchup, giving the Niners. Washington,
Miami.
Miami.
At Miami.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I guess that would be under consideration, but I don't think I'd put them over the Niners. Atlanta against New Orleans, no chance.
Way.
And then Tennessee, Carolina, no way. So, I certainly would go with the Niners. However, I don't have every team's roster in front of me. And if you look at those teams, Buffalo, Giants, Washington, you know, I mean, Washington does not have a terrible defense. If you look at some of the matchups, you know, coming up next week, or in the next few weeks, you know, you might want to consider dropping Moss for one of those, but not one based on this week's matchups.
Chris says, good afternoon, Pete and Brian. I have three questions for you, Mike, too. Who would you start at quarterback, Matt Castle or Freeman? Start with that one.
I'd go with Castle. Freeman, you know, Houston's defense is coming on strong. They play Houston. Castle, I think, you know, I'm not in love with Castle, most weeks. I'm not in love with him this week. I think this could be a bounce back performance. I think their rookie, Jonathan Baldwin, you know, he had that big touchdown a couple weeks ago. I think they're going to try to get him more involved a little bit. I like Dwayne Bowe. I'd probably give Castle the edge over Freeman.
What do you think, Mike?
It's actually it's wonderful to sit and listen to Bilo do his thing here. I have to tell you, what knowledge.
Well, I appreciate you saying that. It's
he's smarter now that he's married.
Somewhat, yeah, you're right. Right. Hey, my wife is a football fan too, and she
mine is too. Mine's a Patriots season ticket holder.
Is that right? Well, my wife last year got into fantasy football at work for the first time. She's not involved in football work wise.
What, Brad Pitt?
Yeah,
Al Pacino.
Well,
no,
she takes it seriously. She genuinely has interest. She genuinely, she her only mistake is she goes to me for advice. That's the only mistake.
Oh.
But I've given her some. I told her to pick up and start Chris Ogbonnaya last week.
Yeah.
And that was a huge mistake, and she lost.
That's why you were on the couch last.
And I was on the couch last week.
Exactly.
Yeah, Sunday night when I came home from the Patriots game, I wasn't. My key didn't work. What happened there? but no. Well, I appreciate you saying that, Mike.
Either way, it's actually pretty nice to be able to. On my end, I get yelled at when I turn football on. At least
is that
you guys
right?
Have someone that kind of can embrace it. But no, Pete knows. Pete knows.
I thought Kelly liked football. His girlfriend's hysterical.
Yeah.
She's just a riot. But I thought she liked sports. No?
Yeah, she does. Well, yeah. She's a poker player. She puts up with it.
Nice.
All right, second
nice.
Part of this question. Who would you start at flex spot? Ryan Matthews, running back, Julio Jones, wide receiver, or Loughran, Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis? That's interesting.
Ooh, that is interesting. I'd narrow it down to Jones and Green Ellis.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And, you know,
I'm with you.
I'll tell you what. I mean, that's a really close call. I was just saying... I think, Mike, I'm not sure if it was one before or after you came on, that I think the Patriots running game is in for a big performance. I think this is going to be a big day for their running game. I think it's going to be a big day for Green Ellis. Julio Jones against New Orleans is just so tantalizing. Julio Jones in general, you know, he's just on such an upswing. I might give the edge to Jones. I might give the edge to Jones, although I am high on Green Ellis this week.
I have to agree. I mean, I know we're kind of excited, and obviously it was an impressive performance by Jones last week, but, you know, you just can't get too anxious with it. there's still a guy named Roddy White over there.
Yep.
Tony Gonzalez is still in the mix. Again, I said it earlier, this game, it screams, 60-plus points.
Yeah.
But, and it probably will be, but if it doesn't happen, we're going to be frustrated. And a guy like Julio Jones, who has been productive, he just might, he might not be there for you, obviously, in that situation, in that flex spot. He is the choice, but I would just kind of temper those expectations because he may not explode like we think that he might.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, wait, was it this past week or was it 2 weeks ago? He had his big game with two touchdowns.
It was over the weekend.
It was just the other day.
Coming back from an injury.
Right, and so you always figure, okay, what are the chances that a rookie wideout is going to string together, multiple, huge two-touchdown games in a row? And, I like that Matt Ryan to Julio Jones connection. I think you can score on New Orleans. Jones versus mm-hmm. Green Ellis. I think it's close, but I'd give edge Jones.
Yeah. All right, Michael, my man, you're the best.
Moving on. Well, all right, Pete.
What's your top play this week?
Football. If you think back to last week, you threw it at me last second. And I was on the spot, but I gave you Michael Bush last week as my start of the week.
Yeah,
and it actually panned out. It wasn't a huge week, but it definitely worked. I made my first pickup this week in a while, so we'll kind of focus on wide receivers here for a second. Mm-hmm. You guys were talking about Dallas. Austin Miles and Bielo kind of mentioned that Jason Witten would be the one to kind of benefit from this.
Yeah.
I'm actually going to put my money on Laurent Robinson.
Yeah.
I just think scoring the past couple of weeks, he's got a juicy little matchup here with Buffalo.
Sure.
I spent some pretty good money on him in our league this week, and actually both of my leagues.
Yeah.
And I'm starting him. I have Breston in one league as my he's my number two guy. I'm starting Robinson over Breston, and in my other league, I got Bolden. I'm going to start Antonio Brown, and then I actually am It's up in the air, but I have Santonio Holmes in right now. But I might put him in, Robinson in for Holmes, because I think he's got a really favorable matchup.
I put Robinson in for Holmes. Holmes is not a happy camper.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, I'm with you on Robinson. I still stand by what I said about Witten. I think Witten is primed for some huge games, but I certainly think there's enough to go around mm-hmm. for Witten, Dez Bryant, and Laurent Robinson to all have okay performances. Great pickup. I think Laurent Robinson was, I don't know if it's Laurent or Laurent, but
Laurent,
is he French? What is he?
Either
but I think he's a good pickup, and I think he's certainly startable. Whether or not I wouldn't completely shut down Santonio Holmes. I think he could score against the Patriots. I mean, a lot of guys could.
Mm-hmm.
This could be a week where he has some more opportunities. I think Plexico Burress as well.
Yeah.
But I like the Laurent Robinson pickup. I certainly do.
Take it to the bank.
Take it to
all
the
right,
bank.
Mikey.
All right, we'll talk to you guys later.
All right, thanks
care,
a lot, Mike.
Thanks a lot. My buddy Poker Mike chiming in. We're going to take a quick break. Then we got a lot more emails to get to as well here with B-Low and the Football Fantasy Lowdown coming up until 5 o'clock or maybe a little after. Whatever.
Sure.
We'll be here for a few minutes.
Out.
So anyway, again, email us, webradio@patriots.com. Call us on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Facebook me as well, Pete Shepard, PETSHEPPARD. Back with more on patriots.com after this.
Dear business traveler who's flying away, you can get more out of your working day with plush leather seats including legroom galore to stretch out your knees, feet, and more. Plus 36 channels of DirecTV in your seat gives you something to watch once work is complete. Log on at JetBlue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Edwin, and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand at JetBlue.com/business. Based on the average fleet-wide seat pitch of U.S. Airlines, DirecTV service available on flights in 48 contiguous states only.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS.
1-800-MY-SEATS.
Droid. Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Verizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
That is the metaphorical sound of you hitting your head against the wall in your search for the perfect brand new car. Let's chalk it up to the fact that you didn't know AutoTrader.com even had new cars. See, AutoTrader.com lets you compare new cars side by side, even special offers, so your head and heart can both get what they want. Say your heart wants a sporty 2011 coupe, but your head wants the best deal in town. Bingo! A never been owned before coupe that your head and heart can both agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with cheese combo.
Who will that be on?
That's it.
Go Pats!
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this when you're ready.
Oh, here you go.
Go Pats!
Indeed. Go Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops. Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. And account setup fee may apply in some states.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochet. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Hey guys, pumpkin coffee is back at Dunkin' Donuts.
Awesome. But what's with the guy behind you playing the timpani drum?
It's a big deal. Dunkin's pumpkin coffee is back for fall.
So you hired him to play every time you say pumpkin coffee?
And when I say something smart in a meeting.
This is big. Pumpkin is back at Dunkin' Donuts. Hurry in for a hotter iced pumpkin coffee before it's gone. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Guys, I think the lady at Dunkin' Donuts is totally into me.
Why is that?
She made a delicious chicken salad sandwich just for me with celery and herbs on an oven-toasted croissant.
Yeah, they definitely do that for everyone.
Can I just enjoy this moment with Dunkin' Chicken Salad Woman in my heart?
Hurry in for Dunkin's new Bakery Fresh Chicken and Tuna Salad Sandwiches. They're hand-built just for you. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary.
Welcome back to the Pete Shepherd Show on Patriots.com Radio. Call the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com. Now, here's your host, Pete Shepherd.
Hello, welcome back. Pete Shepherd Show. B-Lo is here. Brian Lowe, as he's known affectionately throughout the entire fantasy football world.
A wide range of world.
At least here at Gillette. Anyway, we're doing the fantasy football lowdown thing. We do it every Thursday, usually from 4 to 5. And I just want to finish off the email from Chris. Email us, webradio@patriot.com. He's the one who just asked about Castle and Freeman. He goes on to say, who'd you start at flex? Spot Ryan Matthews, Julio Jones, or Ben Jarvis Green Ellis?
Yeah, I think we were all pretty much in agreement. It's Julio Jones by a hair over Green Ellis, but it's close.
And the other part is wide receiver one, Calvin Johnson. Wide receiver two, Dwayne Bowe. Running back one, Ray Rice. Running back two, Frank Gore.
So that's which defense, pretty good.
Yep, that's pretty good. And which defense would you start, Philly or Detroit? That's a tough one.
Yeah, Philly. It's probably Philly.
Probably Philly.
You know, Philly against Arizona. So that's John Skelton, who, you know, he had two safeties last week. And, you know, Beanie Wells is somewhat of a threat, but not enough that you'd shy away from starting them. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously Philly's defense, we've seen hot and cold all year, but, you know, Detroit's against Chicago. Chicago's playing very well.
There's some points. You know, the first time they played a few weeks ago, there were a lot more points in that game than people thought.
Cutler's playing
indoors.
Well.
Yeah.
Cutler's playing well. Matt Forte, I'd give the edge to Philly. I'd say start Philly instead of Detroit.
Mm-hmm. Email us, webradio@patriot.com, webradio@patriot.com. You can also Facebook me as well, Pete Shepard, PETSHEPPARD. And as I said, the other games, we talked about Atlanta, New Orleans. The other one's Philly, Arizona, I think is going to be high scoring.
Yeah.
I think, and San Fran and the Giants. Baltimore, Seattle.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be. Like, I didn't think Seattle would score last week against Dallas.
Yeah.
In fact, I told Michael, I said, I'd be shocked if they got the double digits. They did.
Yeah.
But, you know, that game against the Giants, they put up some points. I think Baltimore in this game could put up a bunch of points.
Yeah, I think absolutely. I think Ray Rice can have a dominant game, you know, against Seattle. You know, Flacco, listen, he's not had a really good year, but, you know, I think on any given day with, you know, with Bolden and with Torrey Smith coming on a little bit, you know, with those tight ends, you know, this could be a big day for him. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're in Seattle. Seattle can be a tough place to play. I'd keep my expectations low for Flacco, but, you know, he's got the weapons, and it could be a good matchup.
Does Tyrone in Delaware have a fantasy football question, Matt? Does Tyrone have a fantasy football question? Well, because I know he's a regular caller to the show. He likes to yell at me a lot.
Oh, yeah?
So I don't know if this is about the game coming up.
Everyone's
fantasy question. Yeah, we have some animated discussions. But anyway, email us, webradiopatriot.com. webradiopatriot.com. Call us, Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Now, apparently, Ed does not have a fantasy football question. He might have a fantasy, but he'll tell me that probably in the next hour.
Right.
So there's a lot of, the Houston-Tampa Bay matchup is going to be intriguing. I think, to me, the two games, and I'm skeptical about Green Bay and Minnesota because I think Minnesota I know it was a ton of points in the first time they played in the Dome. This one might be a little different. I don't know what the weather's going to be Monday night at Lambeau Field. I probably have to wait, so I'm going to reserve judgment on that. But to me, I think Dallas and Buffalo and Atlanta and New Orleans, those two specifically, I think the Giants and San Fran are going to score some points in that one.
Yeah, you know, I think I'm higher on the San Fran defense than you are, but you know, I think that's going to be a little bit of a lower scoring game than you might think, in my opinion.
Well, we'll see. We'll see. It's you know, that's depending again. It's the Eli factor too. They're going on the West Coast now, and this is a string of really tough schedule that they have.
Right, it sure is.
All right, does Manny have a fantasy question? Okay, we'll go to our pal Manny in Miami. He's up next here on the Pete Shepherd Show with Brian Lowe. Hello, Manny.
Hey, guys. How you guys doing today? Good?
Doing
fantastic.
Well, Manny.
How you doing?
Good. I'm doing good, man. I know that I already sent an email thing for me.
Yep.
But I have my friend here, and he's telling me, how is he going to pick Julio Jones over Dez Bryant knowing that Miles Austin is out? I'm like, well, I mean, hey, if you want, I could just ask him. So I'm asking, you know what I'm saying? All right, guys, I thank you for the show.
All right, thanks.
All right, so Julio Jones over Dez Bryant. Well, listen, Dez Bryant has not been a dominant fantasy player. I mean, he's had some good weeks, but I just think that, you know, I don't think the absence of Miles Austin – I think will detract from Dez Bryant because they lose a downfield threat that would have opened things up for Dez Bryant. I think Laurent Robinson is a guy who's going to get some of the looks that Miles Austin would have had, and I think Jason Witten is going to be more of a security blanket than usual. So I think Dez Bryant's going to be okay. I wouldn't say he's a must sit. You cannot, you know, you don't even think about starting Dez Bryant. I just say, if it's Dez Bryant or Julio Jones, to me it's Julio Jones. I think Dez Bryant's going to be his normal, inconsistent, you know, probably four catches. You know, maybe he gets a touchdown, but no guarantees there. Four catches, 60-something yards, and go home.
Yeah. Speaking of going home, you can go home if you want.
Well, I think there's a couple more questions. I have the emails in here. There's
Did
you see the one from Higgins and Hoppington?
No. How come it doesn't load up on mine?
It didn't load up on yours? Well,
I'm being discriminated against.
Well, I see that one in particular, so why don't I take
this? No, go ahead, because it's not on my screen.
Hey, guys, got a few questions for you, non-PPR league. Which two of these wide receivers should I play? A.J. Green, Jeremy Maclin, or Roddy White? Those are pretty good ones. So Green, Macklin, or Roddy White?
Oh, I found it. I found it at the bottom of my screen because my screen split in half a little bit. So it's
there. You go.
There we go.
I would say that that is a tough one. I'd probably say AJ Green is the tough one to sit. Roddy White is elite, and against the Saints, he can score. Jeremy Macklin, I think, is having a really good year, and against Arizona, they're going to do well. I just say, you know, I think Cincinnati is going to hold their own against Pittsburgh, but you're talking about a rookie quarterback with a rookie wide receiver against Pittsburgh. I'd feel comfortable starting AJ Green, but among these three,
it's got to be White.
It's got to be White and Macklin.
I think you have to.
It's got to be White and Macklin. Then it's which running back for my flex, DeMarco Murray or LeGarrette Blount. That's a good one. I'd probably give the edge to Murray. I'm high on Blount. I think he's healthy. I think he's going to play. But we've seen enough now, 3-4 weeks in. DeMarco Murray is absolutely going to carry the load for Dallas. They'll be able to run the ball. I think they'll balance. They'll have a good balanced offense. So I'd give DeMarco Murray the edge over LeGarrette Blount.
Then what best defense this week? Browns versus St. Louis, Chargers versus Oakland, Jags versus Indy, and Bungles versus Pittsburgh.
Yeah, you probably have to go the Jaguars, don't you? I mean, I wouldn't do Chargers against Oakland tonight. I think Oakland's going to be able to move the ball pretty well. I like
that's
Michael
a no-brainer.
Bush.
I mean, just go back a couple games. Jacksonville against Baltimore, they shut him down. And Indy has nothing. They have no heart. They're going for Andrew Luck. I don't care what Peyton Manning says.
Right. When in doubt, go for the team that's facing Indy. Yeah.
Gotta love that.
Yeah. So I'd go. That's one I'd go with.
Let me see. Do we
have any other emails here that we missed?
I'm going. I don't think so.
You had Chris. I think maybe we've got them all done. We had some good ones today.
Yeah,
we really
had some great ones.
Although I do see one more here. Tony.
Go ahead.
I see Tony. Hey guys, here's my lineup so far. Rivers, Victor Cruz, LeSean McCoy, and Hernandez. I have three more roster spots to fill. Here are my options. So, okay. Mm-hmm. Rivers, he's okay tonight.
Yeah.
Cruz, LeSean McCoy, I think is going to be huge, and Hernandez. So then the other three, DeMarco Murray, Felix Jones, Julio Jones, Jonathan Baldwin, Michael Bush, and the law firm. Who are the best three? All right. Well, let's eliminate Felix Jones from that because he might be active, but eliminate him. So you're down to five.
And who did you just say was on with a hammy? Was it Julio Jones?
Well, not out.
He was limited to practice
today with a hammy we just saw coming out there. So I think we're down to DeMarco Murray, Julio Jones, Baldwin, Michael Bush, law firm. I like Michael Bush a ton tonight, so I'd make sure he's one of my three. I've talked about him. I'm high on law firm tonight.
I'm with you.
I'm also high on DeMarco Murray. We've talked a lot about Julio Jones, and you know I'm high on Jonathan Baldwin, but I'd eliminate him from this list because of all the others. So I think we're down to these four: DeMarco Murray, Julio Jones, Michael Bush, and the law firm. And yeah, I might eliminate the law firm. I might have to eliminate the law firm, and the main reason for that might be. I think the Patriots might get Ridley involved just as much. He might get some carries. So if you have to pick three of those, I'd probably go DeMarco Murray, Julio Jones, and Michael Bush.
All right.
But it's an interesting one.
It is. Well, a lot of great games coming up.
I'm looking forward to it.
Always interesting probably among local fantasy owners when the Patriots have the 8 o'clock game, right? Because you have to do a lot of you got to do a lot of planning ahead.
Right. You can't, it's always tough with inactives and not knowing. Although, I don't think this week there are going to be any real mysteries as far as inactives for the Patriots. And for the Jets, I mean, you know, Plexico Burris, there's been some talk that he's been limited this week. I can't imagine he doesn't play.
Yeah.
So I don't think you have to worry about the inactives, but, you know, you'll be worried on Sunday as you look at, okay, well, I started this guy from the Patriots and I benched this guy in a 1 o'clock game. Watching those 1 o'clock games and seeing if you made the right decision, that's always interesting.
All right, Bilo, we'll catch you next Thursday.
All right, Pete, next Thursday it is. We'll try to string two in a row together.
Absolutely.
Huh?
Let's get on a winning streak here. All right, sounds good.
All right, thanks.
Legendary Brian Lowe with a football fantasy lowdown. You can hear it every Thursday right here between 4 and 5 on Patriots.com. We're going to take a quick break and then come back and reset. Again, coming up at the bottom of the hour, Jets sideline reporter Larry Hardesty at 5:30, and we'll talk to him about the upcoming game. Also, more on the Patriots-Jets, obviously, some more on Penn State. And wait till you hear what Albert Haynesworth said today. I'll tell you what. I mean, it is just laughable. We'll get to all that coming up on the Pete Shepherd Show on Patriots.com after this.
Your business traveler who's flying away, you can get more out of your working day with plush leather seats, including legroom galore to stretch out your knees, feet, and more. Plus 36 channels of DirecTV in your seat gives you something to watch once work is complete. Log on at JetBlue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Edwin, and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand at JetBlue.com/business. Based on the average fleet-wide C-Pitch of U.S. Airlines, DirecTV service available on flights in 48 contiguous states only.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS.
1-800-MY-SEATS. Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Verizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
That is the metaphorical sound of you hitting your head against the wall in your search for the perfect brand new car. Let's chalk it up to the fact that you didn't know AutoTrader.com even had new cars. See, AutoTrader.com lets you compare new cars side by side, even special offers, so your head and heart can both get what they want. Say your heart wants a sporty 2011 coupe, but your head wants the best deal in town. Bingo! A never been owned before coupe that your head and heart can both agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with cheese combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats!
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help. I'll just take this when you're ready.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed. Go Pats.
With Patriots Checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots Checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. And account setup fee may apply in some states.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochet. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club story time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Hey guys, pumpkin coffee is back at Dunkin' Donuts.
Awesome. But what's with the guy behind you playing the timpani drum?
It's a big deal. Dunkin's pumpkin coffee is back for fall.
So you hired him to play every time you say pumpkin coffee?
And when I say something smart in a meeting.
This is big. Pumpkin is back at Dunkin' Donuts. Hurry in for a hot or iced pumpkin coffee before it's gone. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Guys, I think the lady at Dunkin' Donuts is totally into me.
Why is that?
She made a delicious chicken salad sandwich just for me with celery and herbs on an oven-toasted croissant.
Yeah, they definitely do that for everyone.
Can I just enjoy this moment with Dunkin' Chicken Salad Woman in my heart?
Hurry in for Dunkin's new bakery-fresh chicken and tuna salad sandwiches. They're hand-built just for you. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary.
All right, guys, ready for 2 weeks in the wild or what?
Absolutely. Yeah.
All right, then strap on those backpacks.
Hey, let me just check this text.
Oh, come on, man.
Oh, no.
What?
Not now.
What is it?
McRib is back.
What?
We're going to miss it.
This backpack just got really heavy, guys.
Everybody back in the car. We are going to McDonald's.
Yeah, good.
McRib is back for just $2.79. But that saucy pork goodness is here for a limited time.
What do you think? You guys want to do a golf trip instead, maybe?
That's kind of nature, isn't
it? No.
The simple joy of big news. Price and participation may vary for a limited time.
Dear business traveler, high in the sky, it's for important work that you do fly. But on JetBlue, we've made your job more fun, with free DirecTV to play when your tasks are done. And with 40-plus nonstop straight from Boston, you won't have layovers to cities like Austin. Log on at JetBlue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Luana, and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand by flying JetBlue for business. Book now at JetBlue.com/business. DirecTV service available on flights in 48 contiguous states only.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you. From Boston sports to concert and theater, whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS.
1-800-MY-SEATS.
Yeah, baby, cannot wait. Sunday night, 8:15 on Sunday Night Football in America on NBC. And yes, your New England Patriots taking on their arch rival, the New York Jets, in New Jersey. So it should be one hell of a game. I'll have all my picks coming up, by the way, my super duper miraculous lock, whatever you want to call it, won again last week with Atlanta. So I think that puts me at 6-2 on the year. I missed one week because I was getting married. But I will have all the picks for you. I went 6-8 overall last week, by the way, but, on my miraculous pick, was 6-2. So we shall try to improve on that. And I'm guaranteeing 65% this week overall in my picks. Guaranteeing, or the rest of the year is free. I only make this offer like 8 times a year, so you better take advantage of it. Email me, webradiopatriots.com, webradiopatriots.com. Call me on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. And you can Facebook me as well, Pete Shepard, PETSHEPPARD. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, Larry Hardesty. The Jets sideline reporter will join us at 5:30. We'll have the picks after that and all that good stuff. Until then, your emails and phone calls. Here's one from Gene in Daytona. Here is my prediction on how the Pats-Jets game will go this week. Tom will start out with a deep pass on Cromartie's side with Price, Underwood, or Slater to stretch the defense. They did not even have to complete it. Just put it in Rex's head. We will do it. The Pats will do a lot of running on the edges to the sideline, with the law firm and Ridley to tire out the defenses. There's a few short passes to Welker and Hernandez. Draws and play action up the middle with Woodhead and Falk. And then in the red zone, Gronk up the middle, or Branch in the end zone. Patriots 7-0. Wow. He must have Belichick's game plan because he has all the whole first drive scripted. Ending in a Gronkowski touchdown. With Pat's early lead, Sanchez is pressured and throws one up for grabs, and third and long, and McCourty intercepts, bringing it back to the red zone, and Welker scores at the marker. Patriots 14-0. Then, Gene goes on to say, Jets drive to Patriots red zone several times, but have to settle for field goals. Patriots 14-9 at the half. This is exciting. I can't wait for the climax here. Second half, Patriots receive, and Tyquan Underwood takes it for 90 yards for a touchdown. Fireman Ed breaks his megaphone on a cheering Pats fan's head and is out of business. Fireman Ed is escorted out of the stadium by security. Patriots 21, Jets 9. Last 2 minutes, Patriots give up garbage touchdown to LT. LT gets thrown out for excessive celebrating. Patriots are up 21-16. Jets try onside kick, but ball accidentally touched by Rex Ryan standing too close to the sideline. Patriots take knee and run clock out. After game press conference, Rex starts out saying, quote, we sucked. Pete, we've been telling him that all year. Finally, he agrees with us. I think there is hope for this guy, Gene in Daytona. Wow, what a scenario that is. Especially like the ending. Very, very, very interesting ending right there. Crazy. Again, email me, webradio@patriots.com. Again, we're doing it all live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette. Patriots practice outside today, full pads in the rain. Nice. I mean, it was pouring. I got here about 2:30, and it was coming down, baby. And we'll see. I mean, look, I'm not surprised. I'm not sure. I guess a 40% chance of rain on Sunday night at the Meadowlands, but we'll see. Listen, if you haven't heard about Albert Haynesworth and his quotes, I mean, listen to this. And I would have a puke bucket nearby because you might throw up when you hear this. Is a quote you what he said again from ESPN.com. Albert Haynesworth excited. I told you the other day, he said he was wish he signed with Tampa a few years ago, but didn't want to because he thought he would be distracted. Ready? Here's Albert's quote. It feels great. It feels unbelievable just to get off the ball and wreak havoc. That's awesome, Haynesworth said of the Buccaneers' 4-3 defensive scheme. Everybody can say, oh, you're in a 4-3 defense, but just because you're in a 4-3 defense doesn't mean it is what I did in Tennessee, and I had to learn that the hard way in New England. So he throws Belichick, the coaching staff, and himself under the bus. Unbelievable. A guy with three tackles in six games and got his ass handed to him on Sunday by the Giants in the fourth quarter. He goes on, I'm excited, you know. This is where I should have been like 3 years ago, but I think all good things come to somebody that waits. You're going to be waiting a long time in Tampa Bay, you fat, lousy oaf. I can't. Oh, my God. And it's too bad because I really had a lot of confidence. I thought this guy, I know it was short money, I thought this guy could make an impact on this team with this coaching staff. But, I mean, he absolutely quit. You talk about Randy Moss. Randy Moss never had a game, and I don't remember, like this, where you just get absolutely, he got smoked on that last drive by the Giants. It was embarrassing. Unbelievable. Good luck, Tampa Bay. As Peter King said yesterday, when I had him on this show, he said it was the dumbest pickup of any team, meaning the Buccaneers. They pick up $702,000 of a salary. Absolutely unbelievable. Unbelievable. Anyway, email me, webradio@patriots.com, webradio@patriots.com. Still lots to talk about with the Patriots and the Jets, and your thoughts about what's coming up. And, of course, the Penn State story keeps getting more discussion. And again, I'm going to jump on my soapbox once again a little bit here, because I just got to tell you, there's a few things that are really starting to piss me off now. If I wasn't angry enough the last couple of days, I'm really angry now. And again, Larry Hardesty at 5:30, he's the Jets sideline reporter, will join me at 5:30. So a lot more Patriots Jets coming up. But first of all, you know, what happened last night in Happy Valley was just beyond embarrassing. And I am so sick and tired of hearing the phrase, well, they're just kids. That is a bunch of BS. That is a bunch of BS. No, you know what they are? They're a bunch of stupid kids. Stupid. And I don't use that word lightly, because I have a great deal of respect for young people, and there's so much information available. There is no way on God's green earth you could have half a brain. And if you're talking and to watch them flip over newsbands and have to be pepper sprayed, not to mention show up at Joe Paterno's house. This is a man who knew that a child was getting molested and did nothing about it. Okay? Now, is he in Jerry Sandusky's class? Obviously not. Nothing like that. But you cannot, this guy, it was the right thing to fire him. I didn't think he'd make it through the week. I think the Board of Trustees did the right thing. I don't know what in God's name these kids at Penn State are smoking or what they're thinking. I think half of them rioted just to riot. You saw the cell phones up with the, you know, taking movies and everything like it was some kind of a movie, like some kind of a joke. You know? Embarrassing. Embarrassing. F, you have read the grand jury report and you know there are at least six adults, including Joe Paterno, including McQuarrie, who's still, by the way, going to coach this weekend, if you can believe that. and several others who knew that children were being molested on that campus for the most part. And now you're hearing further allegations come out today, or some rumors that that the Second Mile program, founded in the 1970s, was being pimped out, that kids were being pimped out in another sick display by this ass. How can you support Joe Paterno? I don't understand it. Forget the football aspect of it. This is a man who knew that children were molested, and all he did was tell the AD. You got to be kidding me. I still don't understand it. I don't understand how he gets off the hook on any of this. He's responsible, partly responsible for this thing. He could have prevented further children being molested and did nothing about it. What the hell are you writing about at Penn State? It's unbelievable to me. And the other thing is, I'm tired of hearing, don't tell me because Joe Paterno's old, that, or even when the allegations first came to fruition years ago, that it was just, well back in the, because of his age and those things weren't talked about in his day. Bull! Any decent human being would have called 911 or yelled at the guy. This McQuarrie guy is another one who's just, you know, he's just as, he is as responsible. Not as Sandusky, but my goodness, to go run to your daddy to tell him a story when you should have been at least I would have charged at the guy in the shower. Sees a man molesting a child in the shower and does nothing about it. Then it's quietly swept away. Investigation. Campus police, that's a joke. You know, that's a freaking joke. You know, was it Mark Madden, Mike Madden from Philadelphia? I heard him on this morning with Dennis and Callahan. He had this story back in April. Nobody, and somehow nothing ever happened. And I can't believe those kids. You can't just say it's got to go beyond. I mean, is it just blind loyalty because it's Joe Paterno and Penn State? The man knew that children were being molested and didn't do anything about it. For God's sakes. How do you sit there and throw praises? Not to mention almost, you flip over a media truck, you embarrass yourselves by riding on campus, smashing windows, getting, you have to get pepper sprayed. Half of you dumbasses don't even know what you're talking about. Just like these other idiots taking over all these parks all over the country. They don't know what the issues are. They're just getting free meals and hanging out in a tent, sticking up the goddamn state. Wasting your time. You ask some of these people what the issues are, they have no idea. People at Penn State, these kids, what the hell is going through your head? And I haven't heard one rat. And the jerk-offs who were in the yelling at the Board of Trustees last night, these idiots from the Penn State newspaper and television and radio stations that they have over there, yelling at the committee members for making hasty decisions. I'll tell you what, go bleep yourself. Because I would have got up and gotten that kid's face and noogied him to death. I would have put him in front of the computer. I would have had the victims of the families in there. Why don't you say that to those fathers and mothers who have, and the children, obviously, victims? One guy yells out, well, but you didn't act rationally when it came to, letting Joe Paterno go. He should have been given his time to coach one last game at Penn State. He should have gone out with class and dignity. Oh my God! A man knew. Had information of a child that was being molested and told an AD. Yeah, I'll save my ass. I'll save my program. And if he tells you any differently, that's a lie. And I don't want to hear because Joe Pa, but when it happened back in the 70s, it wasn't, those things just weren't discussed and it was kind of swept under the rug. Any decent human being, in my opinion, in that scenario would have gone to this police and said something immediately. Call 911. Call somebody. President's gone, Curley and Schultz, they're going to jail. And Joe Paterno gets fired last night, rightly so. I don't know why it took so long. It just amazes me. And I saw those kids, I was just fuming last night watching that riot happen on television. Half of those kids just out there with their cell phones, taking movies, wasting time, wasting space. I know there's nothing else to do out there. But my God, if you know all the details of what is going on, how can you show up at Joe Paterno's house and start singing praises to him. Holy crap. That is freaking scary. Over a football team. This is not about football. This is about a man. And if this guy, if you polled these Penn State kids who made asses out of themselves last night and took away the Joe Paterno name and took away the football program and gave him a little synopsis of a real life. So here's a real life synopsis. He spelled out all the details and took away Joe Paterno and Penn State. Every one of those kids would have probably said, give him the death penalty or have him go to jail for life or an accessory or something. But because it's Joe Paterno at Penn State, these knucklehead kids give him a free pass. Shame on all of you. Shame on anybody who does. And again, I don't put him, obviously, it's not about Jerry Sandusky. He's a dirtbag. He's going to burn in hell for a long, long time. He's going to get his. He ain't going to make it much further. I can tell you that. He's going to get his. Whether it's on the outside world or in jail, he's not going to make it. We all know that. This guy was beyond a predator, beyond a monster. This guy is a sick, sick maniac. And you got people out there rioting in Happy Valley and singing praises. No more than six adults at least knew about what the hell was going on here, and nobody did enough. And Joe Paterno, by his own words, saying he didn't do enough. So you get thousands of kids and you show up at Joe Paterno's house going, Joe, we love you, Joe, we love you, Joe. Why? How do you let him off the hook like that if you're a student? It's so sickening. And Mike McQuarrie, how is he one of the big central figures in this whole thing? How does he get the coach on the sideline? How do you do that? Oh, Tom Bradley, man, good luck. This defensive coordinator is going to coach a team this week. It'll be a game-time decision now whether McQuarrie will coach. Oh, my ass, he's not going to coach. If he's coaching, I'll tell you what, then everybody would have had to wear a bulletproof vest, and I'm serious. I'd be afraid. If I were playing in that game on Sunday, I would be afraid if I was a player. If McQuarrie's on the sideline. I'm sorry. You know what? Because, I mean, I just don't understand it one bit. I don't understand it one bit. All right, quick break once again. And when we come back, we will get back into the Patriots and Jets. Larry Hardesty will join us, the Jets sideline reporter, coming up here on the Pete Shepard Show on Patriots.com right after this.
Your business traveler who's flying away, you can get more out of your working day. With plush leather seats, including legroom galore, to stretch out your knees, feet, and more. Plus 36 channels of DirecTV in your seat gives you something to watch once work is complete. Log on at JetBlue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Edwin, and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand at JetBlue.com/business. Based on the average fleet-wide seat pitch of U.S. Airlines, DirecTV service available on flights in 48 contiguous states only.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you. From Boston sports to concert and theater, whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Verizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
That is the metaphorical sound of you hitting your head against the wall in your search for the perfect brand new car. Let's chalk it up to the fact that you didn't know AutoTrader.com even had new cars. See, AutoTrader.com lets you compare new cars side by side, even special offers, so your head and heart can both get what they want. Say your heart wants a sporty 2011 coupe, but your head wants the best deal in town. Bingo! A never-been-owned-before coupe that your head and heart can both agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with Cheese Combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pabs! What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pabs!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this when you're ready.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pabs!
Indeed. Go Pats.
With Patriots Checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots Checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. An account setup fee may apply in some states.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochee. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Hey guys, pumpkin coffee is back at Dunkin' Donuts.
Awesome. But what's with the guy behind you playing the timpani drum?
It's a big deal. Dunkin's pumpkin coffee is back for fall.
So you hired him to play every time you say pumpkin coffee?
And when I say something smart in a meeting.
This is big. Pumpkin is back at Dunkin' Donuts. Hurry in for a hot or iced pumpkin coffee before it's gone. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Guys, I think the lady at Dunkin' Donuts is totally into me.
Why is that?
She made a delicious chicken salad sandwich just for me with celery and herbs on an oven-toasted croissant.
Yeah, they definitely do that for everyone.
Can I just enjoy this moment with Dunkin' Chicken Salad Woman in my heart?
Hurry in for Dunkin's new bakery-fresh chicken and tuna salad sandwiches. They're hand-built just for you. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary.
All right, guys. Ready for 2 weeks in the wild or what?
Absolutely. Yeah.
All right, then strap on those backpacks.
Hey, let me just check this text.
Oh, come on, man.
Oh, no.
What?
Not now.
What is it?
McRib is back.
What?
We're going to miss it.
This backpack just got really heavy, guys.
Everybody back in the car. We are going to McDonald's.
Yeah, good.
McRib is back for just $2.79. But that saucy pork goodness is here for a limited time.
So what do you think? You guys want to do a golf trip instead, maybe?
That's kind of nature,
right? Yeah. Yeah.
The simple joy of big news. Price and participation may vary for a limited time.
This is the Pete Shepherd Show on Patriots.com Radio. Want to talk to Pete? Call him on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com. Now, back to Pete the Meat Shepherd.
Hey, welcome back. Final half hour of the Pete Shepherd Show here on a Thursday. Final show for the week. Again, you can email me, webradiopatriots.com. Right now, I'm going to head back to the Ace Ticket Hotline and check in with Jets sideline reporter Larry Hardesty here on the Pete Shepherd Show. Hi, Larry. Thanks for taking a few minutes.
Anytime, Pete. What's going on?
Not much, my friend. I'm still, you know, it's with such a big game going on this week, and it's still, for me, it's hard to, and I'm a huge football fan, with this Penn State stuff going on. It's been very difficult to have the type of passion that I would usually have for this game after some of the disgusting things I, you know, not only read, but what I saw last night from these kids on campus. And I just, I can't get over it. I won't get into it with you now because that's, I've already been on my soapbox for the last 20 minutes, but it's, I think the whole country, I think, feels that way. It's just one of those weeks where I don't care who's playing whom. Everybody's focused on Penn State. It's unfortunate.
It is, Pete. And the sad thing is, aside from hearing all the news and watching what happened, God forbid if you read the transcript of the grand jury,
which we all have, most of us have, yeah.
It just takes you to just a whole other place. And you know, to be honest with you, I really can't wait for Sunday to get here so I can just put that behind me for a minute and just focus on this game. But it's been a tough week, and you know, you really from. You just, and as a dad, as a parent,
mm-hmm.
Pete, you just really, your heart goes out to those kids and the families and what they've had to go through over the years. And it's just unbelievable. And it's just crazy.
I just, one part, and then we'll talk about the Patriots yet. But the one part, sure. I just don't understand last night in the rioting thing is, I mean, the grand jury testimony has been available all week. I don't know how any of those kids, if they had read it, have any half a brain, how they could just, and I don't want to hear about, oh, it's just kids being kids. You know, how you can sit there and rally around a person who knew that a child, at least one of that he knew of, was being molested, and all he did was talk to his AD. I just think it's absolutely atrocious. I don't understand what happened last night in Happy Valley. It was so disgusting to watch that, because this day and age, with all the information, how much smarter kids are at this age, I tell you what, I lost a lot of faith.
Yeah, I agree with you, Pete, and you know, it just makes you scratch your head. Look, here's the bottom line. I mean, you have a lot of respect for what Joe Paterno's done on the football field, but we look at this situation here. He's got 5 kids and 17 grandkids of his own.
Mm-hmm.
So if he had just thought of these people, these kids who underwent this terrible situation, if he just thought of them as one of his, it would have been a different outcome.
Absolutely. All right, let's get to this Patriot-Jet game, which I think is going to be one hell of a game, by the way, on Sunday night. I'm hearing, 40% chance of rain, possibly?
It always rains in the new MetLife Stadium, Pete.
Yeah,
we get
of course.
A lot of rain, and for me on the sidelines, I'm not real happy about that.
That's
this
right.
Season, really, we it's been a little better than normal, but yeah, there is a small chance of rain on Sunday night.
Well, obviously, last week the Jets defense, and I saw the whole game. So the Jets defense looked like it was back in their. And I know it's just one game, and I don't get carried away in the NFL one game to the next because the league is so freaking unpredictable. But they really did look like a championship defense last week.
The difference, Pete, was being physical. And what they did, it's the most physical defense they have played all season. They came out, they disrupted the pass routes for Buffalo. What they did, they did a fabulous job in containing Fred Jackson, who had been running like a madman through defenses in the National Football League. And what they did is they did a decent job in coverage and pressuring, even though they didn't sack him much, but pressuring Ryan Fitzpatrick, being able to time his drops. He does a great job with the 3-step drop, looking off the receiver, then going back to that receiver. The Jets did a nice job in putting him in second and third and long situations, which enabled them to get their offense mm-hmm. on the field. And Pete, last week the offense was as good of a defensive game, as good as the defensive yeah. effort as the defense did by long drives and holding on to the football.
No, they sure did. Of course, around here, people aren't used to the Patriots losing back-to-back games, so there's a lot of, you know, it's amazing to me, and it's not just here, but most fans have every, on a week-to-week basis, have such a simple, you know, it's either pass or fail every week. You know, they don't take into account some of the defenses a particular team might have faced for 3 or 4 weeks in a row, and then look at the rest of the schedule. But here, it's like Panicville. Belichick can't coach anymore, a lot of these people. Brady's lost it, everything else. A lot of the writers are picking against the Patriots this week, most of them, which is why I think they have a good shot to win. The one thing that does scare me the most, though, obviously this week, is the Patriots, and Chung didn't practice again today, is that they only have James Adeyemi and Sergio Brown at safeties, and possibly a rookie, Sterling Moore. That's a tad frightening.
Oh, there's no question about that, and I can share with you this, Pete, covering the Jets, we're not used to the Patriots losing 2 games in a row either, so it's a new situation that we're looking to see this Jet team. And listen, you got to go back so far to them losing 3 in a row, it's hard to think that the Patriots would be in that position, but you're right, they've been decimated by injuries, and here's the other thing, their defense has been suspect, and what's been going on is teams have been making adjustments to what Tom Brady likes to do. Listen, we look at what the Giants did last week. On paper, Tom Brady did not play badly. He had 342 yards as a pair of touchdowns.
Yep.
But he had some interceptions in key spots, a fumble, and he's turned the ball over a little bit more than we're accustomed to with his 10 interceptions. So here's the challenge for the Jets. The challenge for the Jets is to do something that they have not done consistently this year, that is put pressure on Brady. And they haven't done it a lot. So what the Giants have been able to do, what Pittsburgh was able to do, although Pittsburgh was more from an offensive standpoint where they kept Brady on the sidelines and they made key plays in key situations defensively, that's more of what the Jets are going to have to do.
And I'm looking at this week that that the Patriots are going to really try to run the ball. I know the Jets are going to try to run the ball down the Patriots' throat because they believe they have their swagger back. But I think the Patriots, the Jets can expect a big dose of Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis, and Ridley, maybe a little bit of Woodhead. I think that I think that's going to be big. And I also and again, we're still waiting to see if number 85 shows up or if Taylor Price can make it through a week of practice and maybe add a bit of a deep threat with. Which is already a damn good Patriot offense with about the tight ends, Gronkowski, Hernandez, and Welker. And I think, and the other guy, I'm looking at Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis this week. I'm also looking at Deion Branch this week. And I was telling a couple of colleagues around here last week when I watched the tape again of the Giants game, I thought Brady a couple times tried to force the ball into Chad, Ochocinco. I know he's trying to get him some confidence, but I also saw Deion Branch open a couple of times. I just have a feeling this week about Deion Branch and Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis, about the games that they could have. But it's nice to see 85 catch at least one pass.
It would be, and I know Darrell Revis had said after the first meeting that he thought that Chad Ochocinco would be more a part of the New England offense, but it just seems as though that he and Tom Brady have been able to get on the same page. But from a distance, listen, the Jets defense is very aware of what Brent Jarvis Green Ellis did to them in that last game. He had about 128 yards off the top of my head rushing, and in that fourth quarter with 6:17 left, Ben Jarvis Green Ellis is the reason why New England was able to march down the field and get that field goal, and the Jet defense couldn't get off the field. So they're aware of him. Deion Branch is going to be an interesting situation because what New England still does well is they spread you out defensively, and they can put, as you mentioned, Woodhead and Branch and Chad Ochocinco and the tight ends are a terrible matchup for the Jets linebackers. So it's going to be a big challenge for them, and they are hoping that Mark Sanchez and the offense can keep and limit Brady and their offense with limited chances by being on the sideline.
And I think the Patriots are thinking the same thing. And also Brandon Spikes, we don't know if he's going to play. I got a feeling he's not going to play. And he's probably been one of the most improved people on defense the entire year for the Patriots. Mayo didn't play the last game against the Jets. He is going to play now this week, but he's not near 100% either. So to me, I go back to what the Steelers did, and I'm sure the Jets are going to try it, and what the Giants did somewhat, at least in the second half. It's been mostly the short 4 or 5 yard passes that have turned into 10, 15, 20 yard gains that have really hurt the Patriots. So, and that fits into Sanchez's style. So I just think if the Patriots linebackers are not up to snuff here, and not to mention the safeties who are down to, third and fourth stringers here, it's gonna be an interesting game. I do think the Patriots will have a good chance of stopping the run for the most part.
And I agree with you because Vince Wilfork is still manning that nose tackle spot. And I know that New England moves him around in situations, and Nick Mangold is an all-pro center. He is still recovering from an ankle injury, so it's going to be interesting to see how that matchup goes. But I think the key thing what the Jets want to do is very simple. They want to play action pass. They want to roll Sanchez out. And with the linebacker situation and the safety situation, if it continues as you say, then you might look for a healthy dose of Dustin Keller at the tight end spot, which can cause matchup problems, which tends to open things up for either Plexico Burress or Santonio Holmes deep.
Has Sanchez, is he better this year than last year? Or you don't know yet?
He's been inconsistent, to be honest with you. He's had some nice stretches over the past four games. He's been very good. He's had 7 touchdowns and only 2 interceptions. He had one last week, though, on the opening drive after they marched down the field, a 12, 13, 14 play drive. And the last play, he rolled out and threw an interception, and that killed that drive. But he's been better, and he is better once the run game is going. There's no doubt about that. So because he does a nice job with play action, because he likes with the short drops, he's better. So he's played better in spots, certainly over these last 3 games that they've won. He's been a better quarterback, but he's still inconsistent. He can throw a bad pick. He could throw a misread defenses and throw an interception or fumble. And listen, we understand that Bill Belichick is still a master at making you think you see what you don't really see. Mm-hmm. And he could get some turnovers that could turn this game around.
How about Plaxico Burress? What do you think? Is he going to be able to play? I know he didn't. I don't think he practiced today either. Is he going to be ready to go on Sunday?
He says he's going to be ready to go. He says he expects to practice a little bit tomorrow. He's had a sore lower back, and he has not practiced all week. He expects that he'll be able to go tomorrow, and he says he'll be able to go on Sunday. So it looks like Burress will be available. Santonio Holmes is healthy. He'll be available. Interesting situation defensively for them. Brodney Poole, their safety, hurt his knee in the game against Buffalo. He is, as Rex said today, he's not real sure that he'll be able to go, which will compromise the Jets in the safety situation, especially from a height standpoint. Mm-hmm. He is the tallest safety they have, and they would love to have him match up with either Gronkowski or Hernandez. So they would like to have him in there. He's possibly out. Joe McKnight, who's been done a nice job this year, second year guy out of USC, kick returns, running back, line him up in wide out sometimes. He's had a toe issue. He has not practiced all week, so we'll see if he can go on Sunday as well.
And talk to me a little bit about Santonio Holmes. He's kind of had a frustrating year from his standpoint. Is he mentally back 100%?
He's okay. His situation has been really Mark Sanchez trying to make everybody happy, trying to make sure Burris gets his catches, Holmes gets his catches, Dustin Keller gets his catches. And, of course, now Jeremy Curley has replaced Derek Mason, who was sent down to Houston. So a part of that was just trying to get acclimated, Sanchez getting acclimated to all the receivers. That's A. And B, let's face it, the offensive line was a mess the first part of the season. They struggled. They've settled down now. Sanchez has got more time, and he's starting to find Holmes and Burris a little bit more consistently. So I think it's not so much Holmes not being Holmes. It's been the product of the offensive line and Sanchez not really having enough time to throw. If you don't believe me, go back and watch that debacle that was the Baltimore Ravens loss, 34-17.
Well, I think this is not going to be a 51-point game like it was here in Foxborough. I think it's going to be much lower scoring.
I agree.
I think it's a field goal game either way. I mean, I'll probably pick the Patriots 20-17, something like that, 23-20, only because I find it as banged up as they might be on defense. I can't fathom them losing three games in a row. I think they're going to be able to run the ball and control the clock a little bit and find a way. However, I mean, it's going to be nip and tuck the whole way. It's going to come down to me. It's going to come down to the last 90 seconds of the game.
It always does when these two teams get together, with the exception of the 45-3 loss up in New England last year. It's always a close game. And, you know, even if the Jets have the lead with the defense on the field and Tom Brady with the ball left, you still, if you're a Jet fan, your heart is in your throat because he has been able to engineer the last second drive. He just knows what to do. He's a confident quarterback. He knows how to hit guys. Guys know where they're supposed to be. And even when you blitz and you do something crazy from a defensive standpoint, his rapport, his chemistry with the receivers is such that guys freelance, know where to go. He knows where the ball is. So if the Jets don't pressure him or put him on his back, it's going to be a long night for the Jets.
Well, I hope it snows, to be honest with you. Not for you. I feel bad. I was going to say, and it's always tough for a sideline reporter to work those late games, especially in November on the East Coast.
What are you doing to me? What do you want snow?
Oh, because Brady's great in the snow. That's why. So the worst, he's very good.
But you know what normally happens when it snows like that? They tell me to come off the sideline. They don't want the equipment ruined. I'll end up watching it in the tunnel anyway.
Well, you know what? You can give Zolak a hug. He's on the Patriots sideline, so you can, you know, you guys can keep each other warm.
That sounds good.
All right, Larry. Thanks a lot. Take care.
My pleasure. Good talking.
All right. Take care. It's good talking to you, too. That's Larry Hardesty, the sideline reporter for the Jets. He's the Scott Zolak for the Jets, in case you didn't know. Good guy. So, again, that's going to be a very interesting game. All right. What we're going to do is we don't have to break, right? We don't have to. Okay. Let me just read a couple emails, and then we're going to get to the picks. And the emails are about Penn State, so that's just the way it is. Like I said, this is a weird week. It's been a weird week for me. Because of the situation, it puts everything in perspective, and I got more disgusted by the hour, by the minute, by the hour, by the day, as I saw some of the reaction, and as the stories just kept getting worse and worse and worse. So, Alonzo says, the man is disgusting, and I believe he is on the same class as Sandusky. Talking about Paterno. See, no, I don't. I mean, you can't say that. I think he deserves to be scrutinized. I think he deserves a lot. It says, I cannot believe the support he is getting from the losers that are protesting. What about protesting for the support of the children? What about the years and years of lost childhood at the hands of all these men? I believe they are all culpable in all of these incidents and all should rot in jail. I wish I was at the protest. They would have had to pry me off of many of those idiots. Yeah, I don't think you're alone. And I think what was scary last night is you heard on ESPN while I was watching it. And there were several, I mean, probably more than several, a lot of people just out there standing around doing nothing, taking up space and hoping not to get pepper sprayed. But there were a lot of kids out there that spoke to some ESPN reporters and probably some other reporters as well from the various networks about that they did not agree at all with what was going on with the rioters. And they were totally, you know, they were probably, you know, most of them were backing up what I'm saying. Some of them were. But they were afraid to say anything because they were afraid they were going to get beat up, and that was their quote. They were afraid to say anything, go against the grain, because they were going to get beat up. Makes you wonder, doesn't it? Just unbelievable. All right, enough of the bad stuff. Time for the good stuff. Let's get to my picks here on Patriots.com. Oh, I got some doozies for you today. Some great games coming up. We begin tonight, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and I'll have my Miraculous Meat Shepherd pick afterwards, which I am 6-2 on, by the way, this year, including Dallas, including Atlanta last week, over -7 over Indianapolis. Let's start tonight. San Diego is at home -7 to the Raiders. And I'm going with the Chargers in this one because they are absolutely the Superchargers. Finally, I think are going to get it together. I know the Raiders won twice last year against San Diego. I know they've had their number a little bit, but I gotta love San Diego in this spot to win. Close game, they win by 10. I like the Chargers in this one, -7. Next up on Sunday, the Steelers are on the road against a very tough Cincinnati team in a game that is the Bengals' real first major test. Yeah, I know they beat Buffalo, but I thought they'd beat Buffalo, if you remember back in that week when I told you they would. Pittsburgh here, though, gets the spot, -3. I am still not a believer in Marvin Lewis. I still don't know if the Bungles are what they are. I'm not sure where they're going to be.
It is what it is.
But I like Pittsburgh in this game, -3. I will take the experience over the non-experience. It's a huge game for Cincinnati. If they win this one, I will be somewhat convinced they are for real. Kansas City against God, Tim Tebow, and the rest of the Denver Broncos. This is a very, very interesting game. The Chiefs are -3 at home against Tebow and the Broncos. They're going to run the wishbone from Oklahoma. Can't wait to see that, or they say the wishbone from Florida. But we'll see what happens here. I can't do it. I gotta pick the Chiefs. They got humiliated last week. They're favored by 3 at home. I think there could be some points in this one though. I just can't see the Chiefs getting humiliated 2 weeks in a row at home. So I'm gonna go with the Chiefs here, -3 against Denver. Next game up is Jacksonville -3 in Indianapolis. Well, you could have the best Pee-wee squad in Jacksonville go to Indianapolis at -3, and I'd pick the Pee-wee squad. I got to go with the Jaguars here until Indianapolis proves they can beat anybody. They haven't.
The Colts suck.
They do. And they're in the Andrew Luck sweepstakes, regardless of what Peyton Manning says. Get ready. But I got to go with Jacksonville in this spot right here at -3. Next game up is Houston -3 at Tampa Bay. Very, very interesting game here. Very, very interesting game. Again, Buccaneers, not really in that game last week. I mean, they made it somewhat close at one point, but you never got the feeling they were going to beat New Orleans last week in the Dome. I like Tampa this week, though, to bounce back at home. I like Tampa Bay +3 at home against Houston. Next up, a very interesting game. Could be a lot of points in this one. Carolina is home 3.5 against Tennessee. And Tennessee all year long has been one of those Jekyll and Hyde teams, and I think they're going to go to Dr. Jekyll in this one and bounce back. They got beat by Cincinnati last week. I think they bounce back this week, and they somehow find a way to cover at least a 3.5 at Carolina. Tennessee +3.5, that is a play. In the crap game of the week that no one really cares about it, Miami is home against Washington. -4. I'm sorry. I know what Miami did last week. I know there's some pride. I know they may not care about Andrew Luck. Exactly. Thanks, Flipper. But I got to go with Washington at this spot +4. Washington was also humiliated last week by San Francisco. So I look for them to bounce back a little bit against the 1-7 Dolphins in Miami. What, plus four, too many points there. I got to go with Washington. I'm still an unbeliever in Miami. The Falcons are home. They have a pick game against New Orleans. This should be another very interesting game. But I'm going to take Matty Ryan in this spot right here. Matt Ryan gets my call here against New Orleans. Atlanta gets it done. Should be a very, very entertaining game. Also, another entertaining game, the Bears at home against Detroit. Monday night win against Philadelphia, but they are not on the road this week. The Bears are not. They are home, which makes a big difference. Now, the last time they played Detroit, close for a while. A few points more scored in that game than I thought the last time they played. And I'm going to go with the Bears in this one, -3. All of a sudden, the Bears look pretty good. And we'll see what Detroit's all about. They had a bye week last week, if I'm not mistaken. So they're coming off the bye. We'll see what the Detroit Lions are all about. They're coming into a tough part of their schedule as well. Cleveland is home against St. Louis. They get 2.5. I tell you, I love the 2.5 for Cleveland here. St. Louis, you just don't know. They're 1-7. You don't know what you're going to get out of them. Not quite sure. Tough spot for them. I'll take my chances and go with Cleveland here, -2.5 at home. Philadelphia is home, laying 14 against Arizona. Are you nuts? 14 points? I don't care who they're playing. I'll take Arizona plus the 14. I had a backdoor cover written all over it. Love the points there. Arizona plus the 14. I know Philadelphia, again, beaten on Monday night, but they're back home, too. Rare that you see both Monday night teams play home the following week. But that is one of those trends this week. But I'll still take Arizona to cover the 14. I don't trust the Eagles. Baltimore is on the road against Seattle. Call me super stupid or whatever. Why do I get the feeling Seattle, for whatever reason, is going to play this one tough? And you know what? I have no rhyme or reason to go on except that this is one of those games that a lot of NFL teams play and go through during the course of a year where they're just not going to gear up. I think Baltimore wins, but 6.5 to me is a little too much in Seattle. I'm going to go with the Seahawks here, plus 6.5, to keep it close for a while. Anyway, next up is the San Francisco 49ers home against the New York Football Giants, better known as
G-Man.
Exactly. San Fran, -3.5 at home. That hook is too much to me. By hook, I mean the half a point. Giants are playing well. I think they go in there at least this week and play hard and tough. And I think they get it done. I think the Giants cover the 3.5. I'm going to take the Giants plus 3.5 on that one. Next up, Monday Night Football. Minnesota is at the frozen, semi-frozen tundra of Lambeau Field. And Packers -13.5 over the Vikings. Wow, that's a lot of points. And this was, you know, a couple weeks ago, this was a few weeks ago in Green Bay, in Minnesota, I should say, the Dome, was a very, very close game. Green Bay won, squeaked that one out. And 13.5, I think Green Bay wins comfortably in this game, but not, like, by 20. I think they win by somewhere between 10 and 13. That's enough for me. I'll take the 13.5 points with Minnesota, plus 13.5 in a divisional rivalry at Lambeau Field. Next up, before we get to my miraculous lock of the week, is the Patriots on Sunday Night Football on NBC. They are at the Meadowlands. We've dissected for the most part, analyzed it, gone through, despite all the Penn State happenings this week, broke it down to you as much as I can, what I think is going to happen. And I know the perception is that the Patriots stink around here. And I know the perception is that the Patriots can't do this, and they can't do that, and they can't coach, and they can't throw, and they've given up on football, and they don't care, and all this other crap that's happened way too many times. I know what the perception is. Is perception reality? I think not, people. I think not. I just think Brady and the Patriots and Belichick find a way to squeak out, maybe even overtime, 23-20 is what I am picking for the New England Patriots to a minor upset of the Jets. Right now, the Patriots are a 1.5-point underdog on the road. I love it. Plus the fact that all the PFW guys, except for B-Lo, picked the Jets to win. That alone should be good enough for you to take the Patriots on Sunday night to beat the Jets 23-20, and all shall be well here in Patriot Nation come Monday morning around midnight. Now, it's time for my Meat Shepherd Miraculous Pick of the Week.
Or and now,
whatever you call it.
It's time for Pete the Meat Shepherd's Monster Lock of the Week.
Another big lock last week, as I told you, the Atlanta Falcons -7. How easy was that? How easy was that over Indianapolis? And this week, I got to do it. I love the Dallas Cowboys -5.5 over Buffalo. I think Buffalo is in big trouble now. We're finally starting to find out what they're all about. And what they're all about is they're a nice team. They're okay. But I just think they're going to have a very, very difficult time. Dallas -5.5 here at home against Buffalo. I love it. Take the Cowboys as my Meat Shepherd Monster Miraculous Pick of the Week. And that is going to do it for the Pete Shepherd Show here for a Thursday. I want to thank all my guests this week again today. I want to thank Larry Hardesty, the Jets sideline reporter, Peter King earlier this week. Well, I had a bunch of people on. Greg Spano was on earlier this week as well, former Penn State offensive lineman. Thanks to Kevin Collins for producing this whole thing, and Matt as well. He's done a great job. Enjoy the rest of your Thursday, everybody. Don't forget Chargers. If you have fantasy football, remember the Chargers and Raiders play tonight. So get your teams in. All righty? And we'll talk to you Tuesday at 4 o'clock right here. Hopefully we'll be discussing a Patriots victory over the hated Jets. Have a great and safe rest of your week, everybody. And talk to you on Tuesday. Bye-bye.
Pete Shepherd, Pete Shepherd, the Pete Shepherd Show on Patriots.com Radio.